This segment is proudly brought to you by Capital Air.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We welcome you to our program, Al-Fiqh al-Madhaib al-Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the Four Schools of Thought. The date today is the 24th of Dhul-Hijjah 1444, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar, the 13th of July 2023. Our topic today is on calendars. Let's welcome Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Saab Damat Barakatuh. Mufti Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa Zaid Khan. Shafakallah. Allah give you complete shifa.
Ameen, ameen. Mufti Saab, what are the history of calendars?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When one studies the history of calendars, then you will know that they would take some major, major incident, and they would say that that year is because of that incident. Let's take two, three examples of that. For example, the Tufan, the floods, and the deluge during the time of Noah, Nuh alayhi salatu salam. So now that was a calendar. It would start with that. Why? Because it was a very, very big incident when we were so young in school. Then we used to hear about Noah and the Ark. But all Allah mentions it in various places in the Noble Quran, the Safina, the boat, the ship, the Ark, and Nuh alayhi salatu salam's Mubarak, blessed name, chapter 71 dedicated to him. So you see, so that was a huge, huge incident. Then you take Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, he's cast and thrown into the fire, and then that is now another calendar starts, because it's a great incident how Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala protected and saved him and so forth. Qulna ya narukuni bardaw wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Then you see Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, when he becomes the ruler of Egypt and so forth. So that becomes another calendar. Nabi Yunus alayhi salatu salam, when he is saved, you must remember, from in the belly of the fish and so forth. So the meaning was that you took major, major incidents, and a certain group of people would use that as the... Now we come to Mustafa, Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see now the month of Muharram is going to start this coming week here, and 2023, and it will be at this Wednesday or Thursday. So inshallah next week will be that the Muharram 1445. But we just go back. What do we say? We the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we believe. We say, Wulid al-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam aam al-fil. So there's ijma, consensus on that. He Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Milad Mubarak, auspicious birth, honorable birth took place in the year of the elephant. On that there are no two opinions, we all agree on that. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala speaks of that in the Noble Quran in Surah Fil. So that is the elephant. So where is it mentioned? Almighty Allah speaks of it in Surah 105, that Abraha came, and remember that 105, it comprises 5 verses. So 105 and 5 verses. So we see he came. This is prior to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam Mubarak auspicious birth. And what do we see? This is falls under the category of irhas. Irhas means the preparation for a major, major, one of the greatest incident in human history, the Miladun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abraha came with his white, white elephants, and he came so near. If you've been for Hajj and Umrah, then you will know that between Muzdalifah and Mina, there is a no man's land called Wadi Muhassar. So he came right till there, and then Almighty Allah sent Tarmihim bi hijaratim min sijil. Almighty Allah sent the group of birds, and they were throwing down the pebbles and so forth. And that is how destroyed the elephants and he and everybody were. So it shows that 55 days after that, so the Miladun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes place. So the message is that when you look at it, so a major incident took place, and then group of people would use that as the starting point of their Islamic calendar, right? Now, to appreciate something, then we will see al-ashya'u tu'rafu bi-azdadiha. Things are always recognized by their opposites. In today's world, you go anywhere, so you will find the Gregorian calendar is very famous. January, February, March, and you come to the ending, September, October, November, December, so like that. But now go to the history of that calendar. Then you will understand so many things much better. And the Muslim today, majority of them, they suffer from a complex. In their hearts and minds it is there, the West is the best and white is right. That is majority Muslims. Whether you go to Arab countries, Muslim countries, non-Muslim countries, but there are Muslims there. So that is what the real status quo is. But when we explain this, then they start wondering. So study the Roman calendar. Let's study that. So when was the new year? The new year was on the 1st of March. So how do we know that? Go to September. What's the meaning of September? Sept. Sept means 7. October, Oct means 8. November, Nov means 9. And 10 will be December. So it shows they had only 10 months. And today when you say January, but September means 7, and October 8, November 9, December 10, so they're not corresponding. So how did January come about? You see, you must remember this, that there was a pope, and that pope there, Gregory, so he also had an idol, and that idol's name was Janus, J-A-N-U-S. It had two faces, one face for good and one face for evil. So he said, no, we must make 1 month dedicated to this idol. So January came. So people, we also use the word January. It's out of the hearts and mind of people about the idol and so forth. So therefore, it's permissible, but we should know the original reason. Same thing with February, also a name of an idol. Then still they could not come right. Then they said, okay, let us make a leap year. So now, after every 4 years, so you have 29 days. So if that poor guy, one guy is born on the 29th of February, we don't have birthdays and all that in Islam, so it don't affect us in any way. But remember, for them, it affects them that they want to celebrate the birthday of their baby, of their son, daughter, and so forth. So if that baby is born on 29th February, so when will his birthday come? After every 4 years. So you see the inconsistency. So some months 28, some months 29, some months 30, some 31. So that is your man-made calendar, Gregorian calendar. And still this inconsistency, because the name of the month and the number of the month are not corresponding. You see? So these are issues that you must go. Now take the Islamic calendar. So Islamic calendar, Quran Sharif speaks of it in Surah 9, verse 36. What Almighty Allah says, Inna iddata shuhuri inda Allah ithna ashara shahra, that verily the amount of months by Almighty Allah are 12. And then Islamic lunar months, fi kitabillah, this was prescribed, ordained by Almighty Allah in the book of Almighty Allah. Yawma khalaqa samawati wal ard, the day Almighty Allah created the heavens and the earth. And from these 12 lunar months, minha arba'atun hurum, that 4 are sacred months, 4 are holy months. The Quran Sharif is silent. So you have to go to chapter 16, verse 44, and that is, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ ذِكْرًا. And we, Allah Ta'ala uses the royal pronoun, we, as a symbol of respect and reverence, stamping His majesty, authority, sovereignty. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ ذِكْرًا. We reveal to you, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this reminder. لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ. Bayan, short explanation. Tabiyin, to explain in detail. Ma, لِتُبَيِّنَ, you must explain in detail to the people. Ma نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ, what has been revealed to them. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, so that they wonder, ponder and reflect. Chapter 16, Surah Nahal, the B, verse 44. So go to Bukhari Sharif, you find which are the four sacred months. Salathun mutawaliyah, three are consecutive months. Zulqa'da, Zulhijjah and Muharram, automatic ceasefire. No warfare. Zulqa'da, month of sitting. Zulhijjah, the month of Hajj. Muharram, the honorable month. Zulqa'da, the people could go for Hajj. Zulhijjah, they perform their Hajj. Muharram, Qudumul Hujjaj, the Hajis are returning. It's not like nowadays, 8, 10, 15 hours you're there. People to travel walking and by camel and by donkey and horse and whatever means of conveyance they could find. So remember that. Then the month of Rajab, during the course of the year, a person wants to go and perform Umrah, so he knows that he got safe passage. So that is the Islamic. So we can say, in the light of Quran Sharif, Surah 9, Surah Tawbah, chapter 9, verse 36, our Islamic calendar is old as time itself. We must remember that. That's a different issue. The implementation of it in practical physical terms took place in the 16th year of the Hijrah, when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the Khalifa and so forth and so on. So you see, therefore Nabi alayhi salam performed Hajj in the 10th year of the Hijrah. Inna zamana qad istadara ala hayatihi. These people, they used to play with the months, changes month, like the Saudis are doing today. They play with the calendar and so forth. Inna man nasi'u ziyadatun fil kufri. So that is addition of kufr also. So remember chapter 9, verse 37. So that year, 10th year of the Hijrah, 100% the calendar was right, Islamic calendar, and Yawm al-Jumu'ah was day of the day of Arafah, and we find that everything Allah Ta'ala made it right. That is the benevolence, the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. And one more interesting point for you, Maulana Zahid and the esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah. When you want to speak and you want to discuss a point, then always use things from the opposite party. So today's people speak of New Year, and all these type of things. But go, you know, like I was on 1st January, 2001. So I just left America and I came to Canada. And I really wanted to show my wife, because I saw it summertime, you know, the Niagara Falls. And we went there to the Niagara Falls, 1st of January, because the Canadian side is very impressive compared to the American side. So it was 1st January 2001. It was -18, -20 degrees. And it was the coldest day in my life. The amount of clothing we wore, big boots and all. And I just went to show her, and we came back, and then we jumped in the vehicle, and my cousin was there, and he lives there, so he took us around. So Dr. Shiraz, Allah Ta'ala reward him. So now you see that this new year has become, you see condoms everywhere, bottles everywhere, alcohol, wine, dine and swine, and they're celebrating. But that is, I don't want to explain that, we all know. I want to explain the important aspect of this. That 1647, you must write this date down, the year 1647, the Puritan Parliament of Britain, they banned Christmas celebrations. Can you believe that? The Puritan Parliament of Britain banned Christmas celebrations. They said this got nothing to do with Christianity. This got nothing to do with the religion. This is a pagan practice, and people are just wine, dine and swine and so forth. And no one can refute this. You go open any encyclopedia that of note, you will find it there and so forth. You go study the history of Christianity, you'll find it there. Now, when that 1647, they couldn't, you understand, celebrate now, so they moved it, you must remember, to this So New Year's Eve, tomorrow, example I'm giving now, is 1st January. So it had New Year's Eve. You know, people say New Year's Eve. So New Year's Eve, the day was known as Hogmanay. H-O-G-M-A-N-Y, Hogmanay. So hog means swine, so you must remember that. So they moved it to that time there, and that is how. They said, okay, we can't jol, we can't party, we can't wine and swine and dine and what have you on 25th December, so let's have a big party on the New Year's Eve and so forth and so on. So see how many problems there are in this type of things here and so forth. They are calendar changed, and then it was banned and so forth and so on. But when you tell the people today, first time in their life, they're hearing these kind of things here. So therefore, we must always, you're speaking about Qadianis, go to their books. You're speaking about the Shias, go to their books. You're speaking about Christians, go to their books. You're speaking about Jews, go to their books. So in that way, you make a very, very, you understand, effective and very, very, you know, telling argument, and then they can't answer it. So that is what we must learn to do also.
Chief Mufti Sahab, I'm currently looking at it, 1647 it did take place. Anyone can search it on the internet also. Mufti Sahab, what does Islam say about calendars?
So you must remember that day Maulana Zahi just looked at it in Madam Google and Mr. Google, and you can find it there. It's something well known for those who are interested in studying and so forth. So remember then our Islamic calendar. So there was a calendar, but it was not for every day and official and so forth and so on. As I told you, when the Hajj was performed, the ayat got revealed, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. So this was in the 90 of the Hijrah. If you have the means, you must go for Hajj. But the problem was the non-Muslims were still performing there. They were coming there. They were getting naked there and so forth and so on. And all that was happening. So he, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sent Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq. See here again. There's a big dalil. Thani Athnain, chapter 9, verse 40. Who will be Amirul Hajjaj? Who will be Amirul Hujjaj? Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Who will be the mu'lin, the announcer, no non-Muslims are allowed, and la yatufanna uryanu, nobody can make tawaf naked and so forth. That was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. So again you see, the rank and status of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq is much greater and superior compared to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. So they performed Hajj, and the announcements were made, and what the Quran Sharif taught us, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, innamal mushrikuna najas, that remember the non-Muslims are impure. Impure don't mean if you shake their hand with them and you have to go wash your hand. No, it means their belief structure is impure. So they believe in idols and idol worship and so forth. فَلَا يَقْرَبُ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامَ بَعْدَ آمِمْ هَذَا. So after this year, they're no more allowed. So this year means the ninth year of the Hijrah. So this is enshrined in the Noble Quran, is chapter 9, and the year also is the ninth year of the Hijrah. So in the next year, they can't come and so forth. So chapter 9 and verse number 28, the Almighty Allah has mentioned it. So we must know all these things here. Then in the 10th year, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, performed the Hajjatul Wida and the farewell Hajj and so forth. 124,000 Sahaba approximately, plus minus, male, female, adult children participated and so forth, and the memorable khutbah and sermon was rendered and delivered and so forth. So all that happens. Now, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq's time was only 2.25 years, and he had to deal with many, many issues. Some people became murtad and apostate. Some people said they don't want to pay zakat and so forth. So there were many issues. Time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was more than 10 years, so plus minus. So now we see that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's time, the Islamic empire, you must remember, is getting larger and bigger and so forth. So many victories, and the booty is coming in from different places. Sayyidina Umar used to cry, Ujjilat lana al-hasanat, that, you know, Ya Allah, you are giving us all our reward in this world. That was his taqwa and piety and so forth. So anyway, Now Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu, he wrote a letter to him. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari was in Yemen also. And he wrote a letter to Sayyidina Umar and said, Arrikh lana. Arrikh lana, make a tariq for us. Make a calendar for us. You see. So now we need a calendar. We don't know which letter came first, which one came second, which this. We must have an official calendar and so forth and so on and all these things here. So Mashura was made, you see. So the Mashura was this, that now what will be the starting point? So somebody say the Milad, somebody's honorable birth, or the Wafat, or the death, and so forth, and so on, and all that. So you must remember, then Sahaba said, no, let us use the Hijrah, you see. That is now the turning point. And if you study Quran, then you will find Almighty Allah makes ishara and a subtle sign towards that your calendar should be starting from the Hijrah. Where does Almighty Allah mention this? It's in the Battle of Tabuk. So now when Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the month of Rajab, now in the 90th of the Hijrah, announced every capable, able male must participate. 30,000 Sahaba, Mustadrak Hakim's hadith, participated in that. From Medina, they went to Tabuk, and in that intense heat, 50 degrees, 48, 47 degrees, and so forth. And these hypocrites came and said, come read Salat in Masjid-e-Zirar. So all this is enshrined in the noble Quran. And then Allah Ta'ala said, Ya Rasulullah, La taqum fihi abada. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, we're very busy now. When we come back, then we will consider your request. When the Master alayhi salatu wasalam returned from the expedition of Tabuk, the ayat was revealed, La taqum fihi abada. You must never ever go and stand there. That same masjid, remember, was burnt and so forth. You go see Tafsir Kathir, Tafsir Qurtubi, any authentic Tafsir, you will find it there. And Ma'ariful Quran and so forth. Then Almighty Allah Jalla Wala mentions, and from there you take the lesson as well, that where Almighty Allah speaks about it, La masjidun ussisa ala taqwa min awwali yawmin ahaqqu an taquma fi. If you want to know of Masjid al-Dirar, chapter 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 107. You want to know of our calendar, La masjidun ussisa ala taqwa min awwali yawmin. So awwali yawm is telling you what? The starting, the first day. So it shows that the hijrah will be your first day. You see? So that ishara latifa, a beautiful istidlal, and a beautiful way of citing and giving evidence and so forth. So Surah 9, chapter 9, verse number 109. So that is how you prove it and so forth. And then in time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and officially in the 16th year of the hijrah, we find that this calendar officially started. Now you get one, Simple Simon. He say that this is bid'ah. How can you do this? So you must remember that nobody can say it's bid'ah. He, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnatil khulafai rashidin al-mahdiyin. You must follow my way and follow the way of the rightly guided khulafa and so forth and so on. So that is what we must remember this. Second one is this, that that hadith is in Mishkat Sharif, is in Musnad Ahmad, in Abu Dawood, Ibn Ma'is, Sahih hadith. And for Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, especially for the two of them. And from this hadith you prove taqlid shakhsi also, that you follow one person, like one unique personality. And what is that? A person came, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if I come now next time and you're not there, then meaning your demise takes place, who must I go to? Iqtadu bihadain. He, hadith in Tirmidhi, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you must follow these two personalities, meaning Shaykhain, wa ashara ila Abi Bakrin wa Umar radiallahu anhuma. To Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar, you follow them. So Nabi alayhi salam himself is telling you, you must follow these two great personalities. And Quran is telling you, Surah 9, verse 100, والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين تبعوهم بإحسان. So therefore, nobody can say, and there's ijma of Sahaba, there's consensus on that and so forth. You know, just to show you one point, because most people don't know this also. The Shias, they in Iran and all that. So we say the Kuffar. We say they call it the Islamic Revolution of Iran. Understand? The Islamic Republic, right, of Iran. They say that's their name. And they call it Khomeini and all that the Islamic Revolution. We say there's nothing Islamic. It's a Persian revolution. And it is a Persian state. And it's not an Islamic state. If you go today, you go there, or just study it, and so forth. You can just Google it also now, how you did about it Christmas. So go look at, when does the New Year start there in Iran? So they don't worry. Their calendar is not like our calendar. Their calendar is different. So you must remember, they have what they call Nowruz. Now, N-O-W, and rose. Rose means rose, like, you know, her rose, like that. So they. So this is a Persian concept. So N-A-W-R-O-A-W-Z, or just some word like that, you can see in English, in how they got it spelled there. So that is how. Now this is what they did. They didn't leave their Persian culture. You must remember that they brought their Persian culture, and they said that that is more important than the Islamic Sharia and so forth. Otherwise, Sahaba, they conquered so many countries, and then they learned Arabic, and they spoke Arabic, and that. But these people, Ahle Faris, the Persians, they made sure, no, we will maintain our language and everything. We got no problem with that. But it proves the point that they don't want to leave that. You know, when I went to Iran in 2013, I asked their chief. I still know, remember his name, Zari. I asked him, Zari, you, that what you hate Umar for? You understand, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. But one favor he did me, he took me to Kashan, which was not on the our itinerary. So there where, understand, this Fayruz Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi, the murderer of Sayyidina Umar, is buried. They put up a big shrine in it. His body is not there. His body is in Medina, but they just he just cook it up. So, and they got their Baba Shuja'uddin. So I asked him, but you, what problem you got with Umar, you see? We say, Sayyidina Umar, he told me himself, he say, our problem with him is he killed too many Persians. He killed too many Persians. I told him, you should read 2 rakat salat daily. That Sayyidina Umar's time, Islam came to you, and it took you out from that Majusiyat and worshipping of fire and all that, and brought Islam here. So you should be indebted and all that. We say, no, we still give that culture preference. You got something about Nowruz?
21st of March.
Huh?
21st of March.
There's it there. You see? So that is, and what's the year they got there? You'll see they got some year also after that. So some, they don't have 1445 and all that. They'll have some 13 something or 14 something and all that. So the Nowruz will be 21st of March. That is their new year. You must remember that. You can just put there, when will the Persian New Year start? And what is the year? And they'll put it there. So imagine 21st of March. So that proves to you that it's not an Islamic revolution. It's not an Islamic republic. How can you be Islamic republic when you are cursing the greatest people of this ummah? Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, the honorable wives of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, and so forth. So that's a very good point to remember that as well. Allah just put it in my head, you know. So, and then you Googled it and so forth. So all to do with calendars. When I went to China, you know, so that year was the year of the dragon. Every year they got a different year. So the other year they had the year of the swine. Then other year they'll have the year of this. And some animal they will have. So then they have all their, you understand, celebrations and all these type of things there. So we as Muslim, hijrah. Why hijrah? That's a separate story. So we say, if they're going to have birthday, then everybody will be in a party mood. Let's have a party. If you say the death of somebody, everybody will be sad all the time or most of the time. So hijrah. Everybody must strive for Islam. You must strive for Islam. So that is the hijrah. So hijrah means that one hijrah, you leave one place and you go to another place. How Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sahaba left Makkah Mukarramah, went to Madinah Munawwara and all that. But the greater meaning of hijrah, wal muhajiru man hajara ma nahallahu anhu. The muhajir is he that, remember, that what he did, he leaves committing vices and sins. So that hijrah takes place every day of our life. That therefore the awliyaullah and ahlullah says, kulla yawmin lam ya'sillaha fi fahuwa yawmu eedin. Every day you don't commit any sin, so that day for you is your Eid day. So that is the greater connotation, meaning of hijrah for us as Muslims.
Inshallah, we'll go for a break now. After the break, then we'll continue, inshallah. Listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wa Jama'ah and Sirius FM, we will meet you after the break, inshallah.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
أستغفر الله العظيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه. أستغفر الله العظيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه.
Markaz Sahaba Online Radio hereby invites you to attend the Nikah program with Maulana Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. The venue is the airwaves of Markaz Sahaba Online Radio. The time of the Nikah program will be from 10 to 10:30 a.m. every Friday. To RSVP your announcement on Markaz Sahaba Online Radio, send your Nikah announcements to onair@markazsahaba.com or WhatsApp us on 084-786-3132. Share your special occasion with us and the rest of the world. Markaz Sahaba Online, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
حديث about knowledge. عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن الله لا يقبض العلم انتزاعا ينتزعه من الناس ولكن يقبض العلم بقبض العلماء حتى إذا لم يترك عالما اتخذ الناس رؤوسا جهالا فسئلوا فأفتوا بغير علم فضلوا وأضلوا. عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص reported that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said indeed Allah does not take away knowledge by snatching it from the people, but he takes it away by taking away the souls of the scholars, so that when he leaves no learned person or a scholar, people will turn to the ignorant ones and make them as scholars or leaders. They are asked to deliver religious knowledge and they deliver the knowledge, the sermons, the advices with no knowledge, then they will go astray, they will go misguided, and they will lead others to misguidance.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you back to this program on calendars. Muftis up, the next question is, how come Ramadan is not included in the four sacred months?
Oh, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala's Hikmatullah Al-Baligha, only He knows. He, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, said in chapter 9, Surah Tawbah, Surah 9, verse 36, Minha Arbatun Hurum. And then He, Almighty Allah, sends wahi, revelation, to Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as mentioned in Surah 53, verses 3 and 4, regarding Sharia and regarding the deen of Islam, the religion of Islam. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْوِي يُوحَىٰ. That he, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does not speak of his own desires, but it is wahi and revelation. Therefore we say our Islam is supra-logical. Logic, you see parliaments, what is happening today. You see what is happening now in the courts and so forth. Today in the news I gave there, that guy of the BBC, he was busy sexting and that to that woman. So we asked the question, why it took so long for BBC to mention his name, that Hugh Edwards, and he's 61 years old, he got 5 children. And you see in Italy, that one guy caretaker, he groped one lady, and the matter went to court, and they said, no, he didn't commit the crime. It was less than 10 seconds. So these are the shaitans you got today, predators. So Islam is supra-logical. So you must remember that. So in a case like this, you must remember that what we say, that Islam is revelation. So therefore, that is Islam. We submit, we surrender to the naql, to the revelation, and not to aql, and not to our brains. But if we want our own wisdom, which ulama have written, if somebody asks you, which is the most important day of the week, we say Friday, Sayyidul Ayyam. If somebody asks, which is the most important month, and even a child you ask, so a Muslim child, what he will tell you, Sayyidul Shuhur, he'll tell you Ramadan. So Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala gave, he must remember, is the only month that is mentioned explicitly in the Noble Quran. So you open Surah 2 and verse number 185. What Allah Ta'ala says? Shahru Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. So there was no need to mention that Ramadan is a sacred month, because Ramadan is mentioned separately, independently, Ramadan and Quran. So Ramadan is Shahrul Quran. So that is why the Quran is the greatest miracle of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ramadan was, is, will always be Sayyidu Shuhur, the greatest month of the Islamic calendar. Hence there is no need, because he's already, you must remember, got his own virtues and so forth and so on. So that is what we say. But remember, Allah Ta'ala, what he says, we cannot question his authority. We can mention the maslaha. We can mention, according to us, our logical understanding. But the mistake we must never make is, when there is a, what we call, superficial conflict between aql and naql, between reason and revelation, then always revelation must be given preference.
Mufti Sahib, people speak about Muharram, then we always speak about Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. What's the link between this?
You must remember, there's no problem in that, but we must always be careful that we don't fall in the trap of the Shias. So we, Quran Kareem teaches us, you must remember that, Kulla as'alukum alayhi ajra. Say you, Ya Rasulullah Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that la as'alukum alayhi ajra. I don't ask you for any wages or any salary or any recompense and so forth. Illa al-mawaddata fil qurba. But you must love my kith and my kin and my family, you must love. Surah number 42, and that is Surah to Shura, and verse number 23. So Surah 42, Surah to Shura consultation, and verse number 23. So therefore, to love the Ahlul Bayt, this hadith in Tabarani, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allimu awladakum salatha khilal. You must teach your children, grandchildren, all of them, three qualities. One, hubba nabiyikum. They must love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa hubba ahli baytihi. And they must love the family and the household of Nabi alayhi salam. Wa hubba tilawatil Quran. And they must love reciting the Quran Sharif. So remember, that is part, an integral part of our faith. And Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, are all 100% part of the Ahlul Bayt. So we need to understand things in its proper, you understand, perspective. Now let's go and see. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an marries, the nikah takes place, to Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha in the second year of the Hijrah, after the Battle of Badr, the last 10 days, you must remember, of Ramadan, in the second year of the Hijrah. He, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, performs and solemnizes the nikah. Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha is 15 years, 5 months old. And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu is the husband. And the nikah is performed. Then in the third year of the Hijrah, Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu, his Milad Mubarak, honorable birth takes place. Sayyidina Hassan is the first one. Then in the fourth year, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu is born, his Milad Mubarak takes place. So remember, in the 11th year, when he, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's demise takes place, these grandchildren were 8 and 7 years old respectively. So they are manaqib, they are virtues. We, the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we accept it 100%. I just give you 2-3. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you must remember, hadith in Tirmidhi is hadith sahih, authentic, al-Hasan wal-Husayn, that remember Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Husayn, Sayyida Shababi Ahlil Jannah, they are the leaders of the youth in Jannah and so forth. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, Inni uhibbuhuma fa ahibbahuma wa ahibba may yuhibbuhuma. You Ummah, you must love these grandchildren of mine. And Ya Allah, you love the one who loves them and love the one who they love. It means like that. So it means that we, part of Iman is we must love them and so forth and so on. So all that we got no problem. Just today, I just looked at one hadith that Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu anhu and said, Inni uhibbuka. And then wadammahu ila sadrihi. And then took him, Sayyidina Hassan, to his chest Mubarak and then embraced him. And then another, all this in Ibn Majah. And then Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam was walking with the Sahaba. So the Sahaba say, Fataqaddam al Qawm. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went in front because he saw Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wabasata yaday, stretched out his arms Mubarak. Why? He wanted to embrace Sayyidina Hussein. And he yafirru hauna wa hauna. And in the gullies, alleys of Medina, he was running left and right. And wa yudahikuhu Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is smiling. He, Hussein radiallahu anhu, is smiling. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam embraces him, kisses him, and says that, I love him. Allahumma inni uhibbuhu. Wa ahibba may yuhibbuhu. And the people who love him. So who? Nobody can take away all these virtues and so forth. Inna ibni hadha sayyidun. That this grandson of mine, said, Sayyidina Hassan, this is. Inna ibni hadha sayyidun. This grandson of mine, Sayyidina Hassan, is a leader. La alla Allah ay yusliha bihi bayna fi'atayn min al-Muslimin. That Allah will use him to bring about reconciliation in the 41st year of the Hijrah. He resigned after 6 months and handed over the leadership and khilafah to Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif. So, like that, we can't take anything away. However, now we say, you must remember, this is the point you must understand. Inshallah, maybe next week or so we can do it in detail, because Muharram will have started definitely by next week, Thursday. So we can leave it for then. But the point we must know is this, that the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala who took place on 10th of Muharram, it was a Friday, Yom Ashura, the year was 61, in Maidan-e-Tufuf. The place name is called Tufuf, and the place is called Karbala. I went there myself in the year, you must remember, 61. In the year 61, remember, it was 50 years after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we must understand this properly. The year is 61. The place is Karbala, and the specific place, the Maidan, the field where all this took place, is, you must remember, that is Maidan-e-Tufuf, right? So Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu was martyred and all that. So we speak, even I speak about this, all that is no problem with that. The problem comes that who are the murderers of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu? They, the Kufar Shia. You see, the Jutlas, the Jews, they got one weapon. And in their terminology, they call it Hasbara. They call it Hasbara. So you must remember that. And propaganda. And the Shias are masters of that. Because Shias and Yahud and that same, the founder of Shiaism is a Jew. So Abdullah bin Sabah, and this is mentioned in their own book, Rijalul Kashi and so forth. So what happens there? So they made so much propaganda that the Sunnis and the Maulvis also, so many of them, Our own Maulanas, you must remember that, who say they are Ahlul Sunnah, they will blame the Sunnis, that the Sunnis martyred Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, Allah forbid. So you must remember, so that is the point we have to. Man qatala al-Hussein radiallahu anhu warda, who martyred Sayyidina Hussein. So we will prove it to you in next week's lesson. It was the Shias who martyred Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, not from our books, from their own books. You must remember that. And then they made propaganda and they said that this. So now when I debated with them, with the Shias, they say Muharram got no virtue. That is the Shia point of view. Muharram got no virtue on its own. So Muharram became important, Ashura became important, rather say it like that, that Ashura became important because of the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. You see? So that's their belief and their thinking. We say no, you got the wrong end of the miswak, the wrong end of the stick. If somebody passes away on a Friday, nowadays, or in Ramadan Friday, so what will you say? Will you say Friday became important or Ramadan came important because you must remember that person? But no, you will say Allah Ta'ala honored that person by giving him a death and must remember on a Friday, Ramadan, Muharram, whatever it is and so forth. So same thing we say regarding Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu warda, that what happened was, it was a Friday, it was 10th of Muharram, he was martyred and so forth and so on. So Allah is elevating the rank of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, not that Ashura became important. Ashura was important already, Musnad Ahmad's hadith, that you must remember was the word Al-Judi. So when that floods ended, it was on 10th Muharram. You must remember that, Nuh alayhi salam and the deluge and the floods. You take Nabi Musa alayhi salam, this hadith is, every hadith kitab got it almost. So Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad, Muslim Sharif, Ibn Majah, and so many other kitabs. That when the master alayhi salatu salam came to Madinah Munawwara, he found the Jews there. And he asked them, Mahada, what day is this? They said, Yomun Azim, Anjallahu Fihi Musa wa Qawma. Allah Ta'ala rescued Nabi Musa alayhi salam, his people, wa aghraqa fir'auna wa Qawma. And Allah Ta'ala drowned the Pharaoh and all that. Fasamahu Musa shukran lillah. So Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam, they're not interested in this. They say, no, this is. They say, Shias, that Ashura became important because of the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein. You see, so that is what we have to rectify and so forth. That their beliefs is also wrong and all that. And all these other things, they reject it and they say this got no importance as far as they're concerned. So that is, so three issues we have to clarify. Issue number one is this, and this got to do with, yesterday I read or I heard that the biggest problem in the world today is Muslim, non-Muslim, Christian, Jew, Hindu, whatever. Creed is greed. Creed is greed. So everybody uses their creed just to make more and more. Meaning everybody, majority of people. It's the truth also. So creed is greed, you see. So these Shias and them, that's what they're doing. They exploit the ignorance of their people and masses, like how Sunnis also do it. We must be honest about this. And sometimes we tell people things that are not 100% authentic and so. Like our books it got written. When I came here to Lens, in our madrasa books it was written, Qiyamah will come on 10th of Muharram. So where's the dalil for that? But our ulama write it sometimes, you must remember that. So that is what I mean. Sometimes we just write things, but where's the dalil? There's no evidence for that. So then after I told them, they removed it and expunged it and so. So the point I want to make is, who is Sayyidu Shuhada? We must believe 100% the greatest martyr of all time, all places, is Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu. Why? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him the title Sayyidu Shuhada. And the hadith is sahih in Mustadrak Hakim. So Sayyidina Hussein is a martyr. Sayyidina Umar is a martyr. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu anhu is a martyr. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu is a martyr. So we can't say only Sayyidina Hussein is a martyr. We must be clear with that also. But because there were a lot of things that happened there, so we must be clear. Second one is this, that to speak about it and say that the Shias are the ones who murdered it, so that is very good. You're making tashihul aqidah. aqaid. You are rectifying the belief of the people, and so forth and so on. So that is why we speak of that. But next week, inshallah, we can discuss that in detail. Okay, 12 o'clock news, inshallah, is...
Jim, Muftis, last question. What do we as Muslims, what should we do for New Year? Is there something like a New Year's for us?
No New Year for us. All those New Year resolutions and all that. For us, every time the New Year comes, so now 1445 next year, so we must have Wal Asri. Every minute, every moment is a bounty of Almighty Allah. So the Quran is telling you that. Chapter 103. And then the hadith in Bukhari Sharif, ni'matan maghbunun fihima kathirun minan nas. Majority of the people, they squander and they waste these two bounties. As-sihhatu wal-faragh, the health Allah gave us, the time and leisure time, free time. They just squander it and waste it, hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the faqih, the mufti of this ummah, when the sun would go down, his face would become somber, people asked him, what's wrong? He said, look at the golden answer. Naqasa fihi ajali wa lam yazid fihi amali. My lifespan is decreasing and my righteous deeds are not increasing. So that is the Muslim. It's time for reflection. It's not time for party and resolutions and all this type of thing. That we leave to the non-Muslims. So we should be clear on that issue as well. Okay, 12 o'clock news is Yusuf Ali, inshallah. So Brother Mawzaid will be doing the 12 o'clock news, inshallah al-Aziz. And thereafter, 12 to 1, with Mufti Muhammad Aku, the conquest of Constantinople, that is our Turkey, Istanbul, so very interesting lesson. And then 1 o'clock Adhan, and then the tafsir will be Surah Baqarah, verses 151 to verse 154. 151 to 154, tafsir of Surah Baqarah today, inshallah. Then 130 to 2, tafsir from our archive, Surah Bani Israel, verses 45 to 48. Then 2 to 3, current affairs with Brother Yusuf Ali. And then 3 to 3:30 or so will be the repeat of this morning's Q&A, very interesting. And then about 3:35 to 4 will be that, you must remember the repeat of that, you know, that fiqh lesson we got. And with Hafiz Behra and myself, inshallah, today is about sickness and death and so forth. And thereafter, 4 o'clock will be the Bukhari graduation, that when people with Asadis of Bukhari Sharif, Mawlana Yusuf Mutala Rahimahullah, he passed away. I met him there in Blackburn. So that will be interesting in Urdu. Then will be that will be 4 to 5. And then 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock, Mawlana Khalid, inshallah, 7 to 7:30, the tafsir of mine, Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, verses 151 to 154, inshallah. 7:30 to 8 will be Mawlana Yunus Patel, Rahimahullah, inshallah, or Mawlana Dawood Siddat, inshallah, the desire for the Akhirah and the year after. And then 8 to 10 will be, inshallah, Mawlana Arafat and Mawlana Salim Karim, shining stars, and the discussion. Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We say jazakumullahu khairan to Mufti Sahib and to all our listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahib, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah.